Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak all of those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have any question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question, a Bible subject that you're studying and considering, and would like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Adam was broken. He was in pieces. Now, before you worry too much, let me explain that Adam is a statue, a very valuable statue, in fact. The Italian Renaissance master Lombardo crafted him from marble in the late 1400s, and the statue has been on display at the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art ever since 1936. But on a Sunday evening, in 2002, the statue fell, and Adam was broken. His head come off, his body was shattered into 28 large pieces and hundreds of smaller fragments. The Metropolitan Museum of Art director called it, and I quote, "about the worst thing that could happen," end of quote. And so over the next 12 years, no expense was spared to reconstruct the statue. CT scans were taken, laser mapping technology was used, all of that to construct a virtual Adam. This would help to guide the engineers and the conservators. Fiberglass pins were inserted, and every little piece was put back into its place using a special adhesive. So Adam has been put back together. And should you visit the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art today, you can see him on display. You know, I doubt that I'm the only one that sees a parallel between the statue of Adam in New York and the biblical, the Bible, Adam, the first man. That Adam fell, and he too was broken. And it was the worst thing that could possibly happen. And yet God spared no expense to put him back together again. In fact, the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul to speak of this at great length in Romans the 5th and the 6th chapters. There we read that Adam's sin did not result in only his fall, but in a broken world. In Romans 5, let's look at verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." No, let's not mistake here. This verse does not contradict utter, clear Bible teaching that each person is responsible for his own sin. Take, for instance, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son." And if we go here to Romans, where we are in chapter 5, and back up to chapter 2, look what we read, starting with verse 9. It says, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. And then if we go to the third chapter of Romans and read a very familiar verse in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No, friends, it's not a matter of inheriting the sin of Adam. Not so. And two, Paul would also relate that his own spiritual death was the result of his own coveting, not going back inheriting the sin of Adam. Let's look at that briefly in Romans chapter 7, and begin our reading with verse 9. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So we see then, the truth of this passage is very plain. It's very sobering. Adam's sin resulted in a fundamental change in creation's relationship with its creator. Sin and death have entered the picture, and sin and death spread to all. Adam fell, and the world was broken. But God, and this is the thing that we need to keep in mind, God already had a plan in place to put everything back together. It would require a second man, his own son. And it's going to be through his life and sacrifice that everything can be reclaimed. Going back to Romans 5, let's look at verse 15. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Now, again, the meaning of the verse is clear. It's plain when we read it in its context. Paul is not describing a universal salvation given to all that everybody's going to be saved. Not when he has already shown that only those with true faith would be saved. But rather, the apostle is contrasting the periods of time and experience. The former age of Adam, it was one that was broken. It was described by sin and death. However, Christ has ushered in a new age, a new and a restored relationship with the Father that's described by grace and life. Yes, the world may have been broken through Adam's sin, but in Christ, all things can be made new. And it's in this context of contrasting the periods of time, Adam, marked by sin and death, and Christ, which is marked by grace and life, that Paul's words regarding baptism in Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, we need to read. So let's do that. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him in through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God's desire is for man to escape sin and death of Adam, and to be found alive in Christ. But how can any man escape the age of Adam that was described as sin and death? Well, just what in the verses we read, he must die. So again, reminding ourselves of verse 4, we are buried with him, that is Christ, through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then look at verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Friends, how can anyone read these verses and question the necessity of baptism? See, this is God's means for recreating that which was broken. It's his means by which we are rescued from death, the death of Adam, and we're given life in Christ. Adam fell. The world was in pieces, but in Christ we are restored. So the statue of Adam in the New York Metropolitan Museum of Arts has been repaired. To the untrained eye, it would look as if nothing had happened. And yet, there are still cracks hiding beneath the surface. The statue is not whole as it was when it was created. But friends, that's not the case with us. Just as man was created in God's image, and we know that from Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, so too we are recreated in his image. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So that is the newness of life that we have received in Christ. Now, we are on display for the world to see, and may it see us sound and whole, recreated men and women in God's own image because of our going through that process of what God has provided, that when we are buried with his Son in baptism, we are created a new creature, not to sin, but to righteousness. Our time is up. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it is till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.